Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we again thank you for this privilege we have of being your people gathered together in this place. Bless our time together. Help us to rejoice in what you have done for us and what you have made us, tools, instruments in your hands. And we ask this in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. My dear friends, fellow redeemed saints of the living God, as I reviewed that second lesson, the reading from the book of Acts, there's a phrase in there that truly stands out. We talked about a little bit in the children's message. What Jesus called Saul. He called Saul my chosen instrument. And then I thought of our theme for our Lenten series and services this month and the one for this week, that God's will and my worldview, how I look at the world and how I see myself in the world. And it seems to me that those two things kind of converge together in the Lord's description of Saul as a chosen instrument. In other words, what God wants, that's his will for us and for our lives, and what we should desire as the redeemed people of God is that we should desire to be instruments in the hands of God. Instruments. What does that make you think of? Hopefully, if you were listening for the children's message, you may have the very thing that he had, a toolbox. And what happens? We have in those toolboxes all sorts of things, different tools. We have screwdrivers, hammers, and saws, and wrenches, and so forth. And when we have a particular project that we have to do, we can go to that workbench or that toolbox, and we can pick out the tool that we need for that specific task or purpose. Instruments. Isn't that exactly how God works? That's what he talked about as well. All of us are instruments or tools in the hands of God. He chooses those he needs for specific tasks. He comes into your life. He has come into my life, and he says, I have chosen you as my instrument. And so this morning we want to look at the Apostle Paul, or Saul at the time of the writing of this particular chapter, as a chosen instrument in the hands of God. And we will use as a guide for our look at Saul three P's. The P for problem, for power, and for plan. And we pray that as we look at the Apostle Paul and Saul here, that we will leave this place this morning desiring to be just that, instruments, tools in the hands of God. The first P is problem. Is there a problem with being a tool in the hands of God? Well, I believe, according to my human nature, my sinful human nature, I would have to say unequivocally, yes, there's a problem with that. We're basically, because of that sinful nature we have, we are self-centered. That means that our dreams and our ambitions, our desires are all focused inward on ourselves instead of on others and on God. We don't really want to give up our own desires and our own plans for our lives, for someone else's plans. We don't want to be someone else's gopher, go for this and go for that. I mean, look at Saul in our text. He was a proud, respected Pharisee. He was a person who had power and position and prestige. He was even entrusted with the special authority and assignment to go to Damascus, over 100 miles from Jerusalem, and there to round up anyone who confessed faith in Christ, take them in chains, and bring them back to Jerusalem. Be a tool in the hands of God to bring people to Christ? Paul would say, or Saul would say, never. That's not the plan. A Danish philosopher by the name of Soren Kierkegaard told a story of an emperor visiting a village in his kingdom. And when he was in that village, a young farmer from that village came up to the emperor and he made a special request. He says, grant me a favor, give me a special blessing. And the emperor thought about it. Then, to the surprise of just about everybody in the village, he said to the young man, I want you to get into my carriage. I'm going to take you back to my home. I'm going to have you marry my daughter and be my son-in-law, and you're going to live as a prince in my palace. Sounded pretty good at first. And then the young farmer began to think about it, about the palace and how the people in the palace lived. And he started having second thoughts. He thought, you know, that's going to mean no more Saturday nights out at the bar with the guys. It's going to mean no more comfortable peasant's clothes. It means I'm probably going to have to take a bath every day, and I'm going to have to know all the manners of the palace and all of the official duties. And finally, the young farmer just kind of bowed his head and said, no, thank you, sire. It would be too much for me. You see, he wasn't ready for that much of a change in his life. The question for us this morning is, are you ready? Are you ready to give up your own dreams for God's plan for you? Do you really want to be a tool, an instrument in the hands of God? The problem of our reluctance, the problem of our self-centeredness, of our thinking that we know best what God wants for us, that doesn't stop God, because God has that second P. God has the power to deal with our weaknesses and to deal with our sins. In Saul's case, think about how he used that power. It was the bright light and voice of Jesus on the Damascus road. Saul was led into the city, and for 3 days he couldn't see, he didn't eat, he didn't drink anything. He simply prayed, we're told. So what do you imagine Saul was thinking about during those 3 days? No doubt he was thinking about Jesus. Was he really the Messiah, as he had claimed while he was here? Was he really alive? I mean, I heard him talk to me. That had to be running through his mind. And what about that Stephen guy? Remember him? How he was ready to die for Jesus? And you remember he even had a look of peace on his face as the stones knocked him out. What about this Jesus? And then we're told that God had a man by the name of Ananias go over to this praying man on a street called Straight Street. And Ananias is another interesting character. He wasn't quite ready to be that tool or that instrument in the hands of God initially, was he? I mean, he reminded God about this Saul, about the rumors that persisted about Saul, what he was doing to the church in Jerusalem, and why he had come to Damascus to arrest Christians and drag them back to Jerusalem. So he wasn't quite ready to go to him. But remember what God said to Ananias. Go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. My chosen instrument. You know, the Greek word used here for instrument is skoios. It's a general term for anything you use to accomplish a purpose. I mean, it could be a vessel, it could be a utensil, a container, any piece of equipment, or any tool. And when God used that general term, both Ananias and Saul knew what he meant. They knew that they were to be used as tools in carrying out God's plan for building up his kingdom. So look what happened. Saul was baptized, forgiven, filled with the Holy Spirit. He was changed from self-centeredness to a life that was God-centered. He became a tool, a powerful, powerful tool in the hands of God, because Paul now understood why Jesus had come, who he was and who he is, that he is true God, one with the Father, and that he came to make payment for the sins of the whole world. And Paul knew that he came to die for him so that he would be forgiven. You know, later on in the book of Acts, we're told that Saul expressed at that time, Paul, his commitment by saying, in effect, in Acts 20, I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the sake of Jesus Christ. He was ready to be that tool, that instrument of God to carry out God's plan, even if it meant his death. By God's grace, Paul was shaped by God. He was clay in the potter's hand so that he might become, as he says in 1 Corinthians, all things to all men so that by all possible means I might save some. He felt himself being used by God as that tool to bring people to faith so that they would know salvation. God dealt with the sinfulness, with the self-centeredness, with the reluctance of Saul, with the message and the power of the gospel. How about your life? How about mine? God uses that same power in our lives. Jesus died on that cross, not just for Saul, but for everyone, for you and for me. He was raised to life, as Paul says in Romans, for our justification, that you and I might be declared not guilty in the sight of God. We too have been baptized. The Holy Spirit has been poured into our hearts and into our lives. We have been given new life in Christ Jesus. My dear friends, do you sense in your life God using you? The feeling of being a tool in the hands of God. Remember what God's plan, that third P, what God's big plan is. His unchangeable will. God will have all men to be saved. All men, all mankind, to come to a knowledge of the truth and be saved. So he commissions his church. Go, he says, make disciples, followers of Jesus, of all nations. And that's done, isn't it? Through baptizing. It's done through teaching. And God has special assignments and tasks that are necessary to get the job done. In the story before us, God uses Ananias to baptize Saul, to lay hands on him, and to lay the foundation for Paul's acceptance by the rest of the apostles. For Saul, God's plan was pretty clear too, wasn't it? To carry the gospel to the Gentiles, to kings, and to the people of Israel from Jerusalem all the way to Rome. To plant churches, to train church leaders, to be the author of so many of our New Testament books and letters today. It's like taking those different tools out of the toolbox, isn't it? The saw to saw the wood, the hammer to nail in the nails, the screwdriver to set the screws. A 4-year-old was playing with his dad. He was playing with his dog in the backyard, and his parents were back there also. And as little 4-year-olds are typical to do, they got a little bored with playing with the dog. So he ran over to Dad and decided he wanted to play his favorite game with his dad and ask questions real fast and see how fast his dad could answer the questions. What is Spot doing? Dad says, Spot is running around the yard. What's Mom doing? Mom is pulling weeds in the garden. What's Dad doing? Dad is planting a rose bush. And without skipping a beat, the little boy says, What is God doing? And the dad kind of didn't have an immediate response. He had to think and figure out what God was doing. How would you answer that question? What is God doing right now? Do you see God at work in your lives? Do you see God making disciples through baptism and teaching the gospel last night and in our late service today? This church has that joy and privilege of being tools in the hands of God as young children are brought into the saving knowledge of Christ through the water and word of holy baptism. I think we can look back at our lives, at our pasts, and see many things that God has done in our lives, many tools that God has used to help us personally. Think about it. Each of us, in a sense, has had a Damascus Road experience, haven't we? If you've been baptized, you've had it, because the Holy Spirit was poured into your heart and faith was created. And I believe every one of us here has an Ananias, or several of them, in our lives. Pastors speaking forgiveness from the pulpits in worship services, encouraging us in our faith walk and in our faith life. So many different assignments and tasks to do. I think of a choir here. I think of the musicians. I think of those who are involved in the remodeling phase. All these different ways that we use, that God uses us. We're going to have those baptism again in a late service. He's using those parents, isn't he? They're tools in his hands to bring that child to this place, to bring that child to faith. All different tools and instruments. But right now, what is God doing? I don't know if we always have a sense of the complete picture and know the outcome. But I think there's one thing that you and I should be sure of, what God wants. And what God wants is for each and every one of us to be tools in his hands. And by that, then, what he also wants is not that we are a tool hidden in a box or sitting on a workbench, but rather, we want to be busy, God using us in whatever way he chooses to use us to be a part of his plan. A little boy went to Sunday school, and he came home from Sunday school, and his mother's talking to him, telling him about Sunday school, and she says, "Well, who is your teacher?" And the little boy stopped for a moment and said, "Well, I don't really remember what her name is, but I think she's Jesus' grandmother." "What? What do you mean? Why do you think that she's Jesus' grandmother?" "Well," the little boy says, "for two different reasons. First of all, she has pictures of him all over the room. And secondly, she can't stop talking about him." Isn't that a picture of that teacher being a tool or an instrument in the hands of God, right? I mean, God is using that teacher for that little child and for all those other kids in that classroom. That's what God wants. My friends, does that describe you? She truly was a tool in the hands of God as God was using her to share the love of Christ with others. May each of us find ways to be used by God as tools who are carrying out his saving plan in the world. Let that be your worldview, how you look at the world and your role in the world, because it truly is what God wants, what his will is. May God grant that to us for Jesus' sake. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, may it keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto eternal life. Amen.